Colossians, the third chapter. Super grateful for the Sunday school lesson this morning. Really good, or this afternoon. Really good stuff. Really appreciated the thoughts around the Lord's table there. Really do have great unity in Christ. You know, that unity in Christ is really important. I would encourage you guys to read the backs of your bulletins. Don't worry, it's not my writing. It is Mr. Wilson's bulletin backs. And we've just started, over the past few weeks, a new series going through 1 Corinthians. And so I would encourage you to read the backs of those bulletins every week. You know, preferably not when I'm preaching, but hey, you gotta do what you gotta do, to stay awake. So, if you're thinking that what I'm saying is incoherent, maybe you'll be able to find something coherent on the back of the bulletin. But it really is good stuff, for us to be able to be encouraged and to be edified by, and that's why it's there. We're in Colossians chapter 3, and we're gonna focus on verses 5 through 7. But I'm going to pick it up starting in verse 1. Colossians 3 starting in verse 1, and we're going to focus in on 5 through 7. If then you have been raised up with Christ, keep seeking the things above where Christ is, seated at the right hand of God. Set your mind on the things above, not on things that are on earth. For you have died and your life is hidden with Christ in God. When Christ, who is our life, is revealed, then you will be revealed with him in glory. Therefore, consider the members of your earthly body as dead to immorality, impurity, passion, evil desire, and greed, which amounts to idolatry. For it is on account of these things that the wrath of God will come. And in them you also once walked when you were living in them. So, looking in particular at verses 5 through 7, verse 5 starts with a therefore. Well, you guys have probably all heard the old saying, when you see a therefore, you should ask, what is it there for? Therefore. Well, because of the things that we've gone over on those first four verses, because your old man is dead, and because you have been raised up with Christ, keep seeking the things above, because your life is hidden with God in Christ. We talked about this last week a little bit, that our life is hidden with Christ. Well, things that are hidden, we don't see. A little bit self-evident there, right? But things that are hidden are unseen. And so when it says that our life is hidden with Christ, it shouldn't be a surprise to us that the world doesn't understand our life. That the world doesn't understand our new prioritization. That the world doesn't understand what our lives are about now, because our lives, to them, it's a mystery, it's an enigma. They can't find what our life is about, but our life is hidden with God in Christ. So when Christ is revealed, we will also be revealed with him in glory. So we look and we are transformed so that on the last day we get to be transformed to our resurrection bodies as well. We get a body of glory because our life is already there. You already are raised up and seated with Jesus in the heavenly places. That's where you are right now. That's not something that we have to wait for the sweet by and by to wait until I can finally be with Jesus. You're with Jesus now. I remember growing up, going to different meetings, and you know, the goal is like, well, just someday we'll all be able to be with Jesus. Well, I think I understand what they're saying, but I don't think that they understand what they're saying. See, because we are with Christ now. Okay, spiritual things, and people are made spiritual beings, they are not limited in the same way that physical things are. So, your body, obviously here, right? If your body's not here, you have a problem. Your body is here. Now, your soul in your spirit are also inside of your body. Okay? Yeah, it's in your body. You have a body, soul, and spirit, just like Jesus had a body, soul, and spirit. Jesus's spirit and soul were encased in his body, just like your spirit and soul are encased in your body. But when Ephesians chapter 2 says, you've been raised up and seated with Christ in the heavenly places, that's not a statement of in the sweet by and by. You have been raised up and seated with Christ in the heavenly places. That's already taken place. So your spirit and your soul, yeah, they're inside of your body, but you know where else they are? They're with Christ in glory. They're seated with Him where He is at. That's where your spirit and your soul are, and that is where they reside. These are spiritual things, spiritual entities. We have such a hard time sometimes thinking about things not physically. Okay? So where you are in reality is with Jesus Christ, seated with Him in the heavenly places. So therefore, because of all of these things, because we have been raised up with Christ, we've been seated with Him in the heavenly places, because our old man is dead. We talked about how our past is gone. Your old person is gone. Jeremy brought that out beautifully in the Lord's Supper meditation. Like, you don't have to worry about any of those bad things that you used to do because that person's dead. Okay? Praise be to God, that person's gone. No more. Doesn't exist. Okay, and so now we've been raised anew, a brand new creature, and the exhortation is for us to keep seeking the things above where Christ is, where we are too, seated with Him in the heavenly places. You can look at Ephesians 2. We went there the other week, so I'm not going to go there again right now. So then in verse 5, it picks it up. Therefore, okay, because of those things, consider the members of your earthly body as dead to immorality, impurity, passion, evil desire, and greed, which amounts to idolatry. So, there's a reminder that needs to take place here, because as Christians, we're still living by faith. See, the faith has not yet become sight. So there's some consideration that needs to take place. Do we really believe that we have been raised up and seated with Christ in the heavenly places? See, what you believe is absolutely essential to how you behave. It's absolutely critical. What you believe dictates the way that you are going to approach your entire life. So when it says, therefore consider, while you're in the body, okay, while you're in the body, there's a war that takes place. A war that goes on. Who are you going to believe? Are you going to believe Satan's lies? Or are you going to believe Christ's reality? Scripture is written so that we might believe Christ's reality, so that we might have faith in Christ's reality, but we still have a choice. See, we are to see ourselves as dead to sin. You want to know why? Because we are dead to sin. That's why we are to see ourselves in that way. We are to see ourselves as dead, and greater than dead to sin, we are now raised up with Christ. Okay? As a resurrected person that temptation can't even touch. That's how we have to view ourselves. Okay? But just because that's the reality, might Satan still try to tempt you? Could there still be some lust? Carried away by our own lust and enticed. And that lust bring forth sin, and that sin bring forth death. Is that still a possibility even for those who have been born again? Those who have been born from above. See, it has everything to do with if we believe what God has to say or not, but Just because you've been born again doesn't mean that Satan's never going to come knocking on your door. You got a choice whether you want to answer or not. You got a choice whether you're even going to hear the knock, right? That's really what we're talking about when you say, see ourselves as temptation can't even touch us. You might hear the knock, but can you learn to ignore the knock? I wish my dog would learn to ignore the knock, but okay, but luckily you got a whole lot more going on in there than your puppy does, right? See, a lot of people respond to sin the same way that my dog responds to the door getting knocked. Oh, I gotta respond. The mail guy, you're gonna get robbed. Oh, there's an opportunity to do something bad here. What choice did I have? I mean, do you know that I'm trying to use an appropriate example, I'm sorry. There's a lot of bad things out there. Oh, people get addicted to drugs for reasons. There's all sorts of things on the internet. It's there. And a lot of people respond to those knocks like dogs to the door. Oh, okay. Guys, we have to see ourselves as dead to sin and alive to God. It's not just, and we need to see ourselves that way because that is the reality. There needs to be a consideration to think about, to put mental effort into, to respond. You know where your strengths and your weaknesses are. So have you considered your game plan? Have you considered your game plan when temptation comes knocking? Or are you just waiting to react? Hopefully I'm strong enough in the moment to resist the temptation. Good luck with that, man. Good luck. If that's your game plan, okay, I think the Cleveland Browns are looking for a coach. Sorry. It's not going to work. It's not going to work. Because I'm just going to try to resist Satan. Guys, we got to be proactive about the way that we respond. We have to be ready because temptation very well may come. And if you're not ready, you're going to get slapped in the face, man. So it says, therefore, consider, think about, put mental effort into. Christianity takes place inside of your mind. Paul is exhorting us to consider, to think about, to spend time contemplating, to live in a way that reflects reality. See, this isn't self-delusion. This is getting ourselves to respond to what the reality actually is. Because are you God or is God God? Sometimes we have to ask ourselves that because we have a tendency, we live in a humanistic society, and we have a tendency to kind of see things through our own individual paradigms, right? So you put yourself in whatever situation it is, and, well, I think I have a pretty good idea of how this thing should be run. Okay, put yourself at work, right? You always know better than your bosses, don't you? I mean, really? And wouldn't the company be a whole lot better run if you were the one running it? See, we have a tendency to kind of think that way. And it's because our entire culture is a humanistic culture where where we are our own gods as a culture and as a society. And so we see things from our own limited perspective. But we can also have a tendency as new Christians, as Christians who need to grow in faith, we can have a tendency to see ourselves from our own perspective or from our own paradigm instead of from God's perspective and God's paradigm. Well as you know yourself, actually God's the expert on you. You aren't the expert on you. You have a lot of experience on you, but that doesn't make you the expert on you. And in fact, most of that experience, you might as well go chuck it. Might as well go throw it away. Because most of that experience has to do with your old man, and I don't know if you were awake for the first 10 to 15 minutes, but he's dead. So go ahead and chuck that out the door, alright? Because there's a new expert on you, and what he says determines what reality really is. Consider that what God has said is true. If we don't believe in what God has said, if we don't believe that we are dead to immorality, impurity, passion, evil desire, and greed, your life certainly won't show that you're dead to these things. Again, that's why it's so important to believe, to think about, to consider what God has said. Our belief system needs to be in line with God's reality. It's important that we think about that and make any adjustments that we need to make when we consider ourselves. I'm not the expert on me. God's the expert on me, and He's the one who determines reality. So I am dead to immorality. I am dead to impurity. I am dead to passion. I am dead to evil desire. I am dead to greed. Is that true? Absolutely. When God says it, that settles it. That's the reality. It's the faith picture that we need to put in front of our eyes, because that is the true picture. Again, that doesn't mean that temptation won't come your way. You know, most of us have, we used to call them boxes, but if they're flat screens, are they boxes anymore? I don't think that they're boxes. I was going to say most of us have a box, okay, in our living room somewhere. Have we considered what's coming out of that box or that flat screen? What we're watching on our movies or shows. You know, it's worth thinking about. It's worth considering what it is that we put in our minds. Do we watch shows that glamorize illicit relationships and watch those together with our kids? And then do we expect that they're going to internalize our values and not Hollywood's values? Well, do we think that we can idolize and admire our favorite worldly artists and then think that our kids aren't going to do it the exact same? Well, my music is okay, but their music, oh, that's trash. It's weird how kids can usually spot those inconsistencies, isn't it? Okay. And we know that too, that again, this is not a, it's not a legalistic sermon. You guys all know me better than that. There, guys, the determination whether music is good or not is not whether they're signed to a Christian music label, okay? Like, throw that stuff out. There's things that could be positive. But you do realize that your kids don't have your filter, right? I mean, that's worth considering. So God wants us to consider. There's plenty of things for us to consider. There are opportunities to have discussions with our kids. There's opportunities as parents for us to decide when those discussions happen. But child or adult, the concept remains true that what you put in is what you get out. Good in, good out. Garbage in, garbage out. It's a law. You can't get around that law. So consider. That's what it says. Therefore, consider the members. Think about the members of your earthly body as dead. Consider what you're putting in. Idolatry. What is on the throne of your life? Let's turn over to the book of Proverbs. Proverbs chapter 30. Proverbs 30 and verse 15. Proverbs 30 through 15. The leech has two daughters. Give, give. There are three things that will not be satisfied, four that will not say enough. The leech has two daughters. Give, give. There's a focus here by Paul in particular on sexual impurity, covetousness, and greed. They're leeches. leeches that demand payment but are never satisfied. Give. Give. Never enough. Always one more dollar, right? Always one more dollar. There's some rich person, I don't even remember who it was. Said, how much money you want? One more dollar. One more dollar. Sexual impurity. Give, give. This will make me satisfied. And then what happens? You're not. Give, give. See, we don't want to give in even a little bit because a little immorality, a little greed, a little coveting, it always leads to more. It's never satisfied. Give. Give. Ephesians chapter 5. Guys, this is one of the reasons why when God is telling the Israelites to take the promised land, okay, he tells them to go in and to kill everybody. Kill everybody. Man, woman, child, kill them all. And a lot of people, you'll get questions about that. You need to know that that's in there. You'll get questions about that. Okay, and we'll be happy to talk to you about why if we're talking about those individual people in particular. But one of the major things that God is trying to communicate to us is that same eradication of the pagan people, the same worldly people that they needed to do, is the same eradication of sin that you need to do in your life. You can't just let a little of it stick around. You can't just let a little sin stick around. Or else, guess what? Give, give. See, God told the people as they were going into the promised land, okay, get them out, eradicate them, do away with them. And that's the picture of us for sin, that we need to eradicate it, get it out, do away with it. Because that sin will kill you. That sin will kill you spiritually. And so, not even a little, it's not there to be negotiated with. A lot of times we do this self-justification dance where I can negotiate with this sin. It's interesting. Those who claim that we can't live like Jesus Christ, especially from an individual perspective, but those who claim that a man can't be sinless through the power of Jesus Christ. It's interesting that they always claim that we can overcome the big sins. It's the little sins that we can't overcome. Well, which one do you think is harder to quit? Heroin or caffeine? I mean, I like caffeine. But isn't it interesting, like, if you're talking about degrees of difficulty, caffeine's a whole lot easier to quit, right? So that's a problem. But those little sins, you can quit adultery, but you mean that I have to have a covenant with my eyes? So I don't have to look lustfully ever? It's weird that we can quit the big sins according to their perspective, but we can't quit the small sins. Or maybe we should say it, we can quit the big sins, but we can't quit the sins that they struggle with. Would that be accurate? Ephesians 5, verse 3. But do not let immorality or any impurity or greed even be named among you as is proper among saints. Encouragement here is for it not even to be named. Let's turn over real quick to Galatians chapter 5. Galatians 5. Verse 17. Galatians 5:17. For the flesh sets its desire against the spirit, and the spirit against the flesh. For these are in opposition to one another, so that you may not do the things that you please. But if you are led by the Spirit, you are not under the law. Drop down to verse 25. There's examples given of walking by the flesh, and then it's what it looks like if we're walking by the Spirit. Those two things are given back to back. Then in verse 25 it says, now if we live by the Spirit, let us also walk by the Spirit. You get to decide who's going to win. You get to decide if the Spirit's going to win or if the flesh is going to win. Back to Colossians chapter 3. Therefore, consider the members of your body as dead to all of these things. Verse 6, for it is on account of these that the wrath of God will come. Yours might say, upon the sons of disobedience. It's upon these that the wrath of God will come. God's wrath is real. God doesn't wink at sin. There is a judgment day coming, and eternity is a very, very long time. God will right every wrong, and those who choose to be disobedient will have the wrath, the anger of God poured out upon them. You go ahead and you go to Isaiah chapter 2, verses about 12 through 22, and Isaiah 5, verses 18 through 23. They're talking about judgment day. And they talk about the terror of the Lord. The wrath of God is real. And the wrath of God is going to be poured out upon the sons of disobedience. Now, this isn't particularly pleasant to think about. And if it is pleasant for you to think about, you might want to check your own attitude. But the Scripture tells us this so that we pay attention. Jesus talks about hell more than any other person in the New Testament. Why? They want you to pay attention. They don't want you to say, I didn't know. No. The wrath of God will be poured out upon the sons of disobedience. It's better to know so that you can be prepared. God is letting you know what will happen for sure so that you can presently prioritize your life in such a way so as you are ready for that eventuality. So that your life can be hidden with Christ today so that when Christ is revealed, you will be with Him in glory. He wants you to know. He says you got a choice. I'm not going to make it for you. You got a choice today. And we are redeemed. It's a blessing to be in fellowship, in relationship with God. It's a blessing to be a part of the redeemed, that we don't have to fear the wrath of God. Because the fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom. The wrath of God, that's something worth being afraid of. Okay, verse 7. And in them you also walked when you were living in them. You were living in them. But that person's dead, right? Now, I've had people read the passage in Galatians 5 there. Lists a number of different things. This is a different list here, but you read the list in Galatians 5. We read 17. You go ahead and read 18 through the rest. Okay? This is the list of all of the stuff I'm not supposed to be doing, right? Yeah? Well, there's a problem here. Yep. Okay, guys, one of the things that you'll notice there in that Galatians chapter 5 passage, one of the things that you'll notice is there's a word called practice. The word's important. Okay, because it doesn't mean that, you know, because one of them's, see, we have a tendency to culturally, like some of those things, like murder, those are really bad. But in the very same list is outbursts of wrath, and like that one's actually okay. Like there's a weighting scale. I think you learn that weighting scale in seminary, but since I didn't go to seminary, I missed that part. But the reality is that it's in the same list there, outbursts of wrath or anger, Same list as things like fornication and adultery and murder and, well, it's those who practice such things. Practice. You might come into Christ and like, oh, if this is a checklist, I got them all. Okay. God's grace is there for you to be able to work it one at a time. And guess what? You don't have condemnation for the other. I didn't count how many were on the list. There's a lot. Wait, you're not condemned for those things. God's grace allows you to work on number one thing, and you're covered for the rest. Now, God really wants you to work on it. It's not a pass to like, but you know who determines whether you're working on it or not? You and God. That's not my job. It's way beyond my pay grade, right? Be beyond my pay grade even if I went to seminary. Especially if I went to seminary. Okay? Okay, God wants you to work on one thing, and that's why he has given you grace to be able to take positive steps forward. Because if you are continually being condemned for those things that are still present in your life, okay, then you're going to be paralyzed and not able to move forward the way that God really wants you to. So the reminder here is in Colossians of who you really are, that you once walked in those things, you were once living in those things, but that's not the case anymore. But I want to bring out something else right there just real quick. Because we were those people who once walked in these things, who once walked in the deeds of immorality and impurity and passion and evil desire and greed, which amounts to idolatry, because we were those people, it should be really easy for us to be able to have compassion. It should be something that's very simple and natural for us is to have compassion for those people, because those people were us. We were those people when we were outside of Christ. And it's only because of Christ's redemptive work and because of Christ's Holy Spirit dwelling inside of us now that's not who we are anymore. It's not who we are anymore as we were outside of Christ. And you know what? Some of those lists might apply to us as Christians. That's why we talked about the Holy Spirit. He renews us day after day. You're new. You don't have to worry about things that you did after you became a Christian. That's completely silly. Every day is the Holy Spirit works to keep us new continually. That doesn't have a separate state. Like, oh, well, I'm going to start holding that. Well, Bob, you were a Christian, so it's not the way that works. Okay? Holy Spirit works to continue to keep us clean, to continue to cleanse us. So it should be pretty easy for me to have compassion on people who are living like the world, shouldn't it? Because you once were one of them. Remember, God is the one who justifies and condemns. And we should be able to relate with any sinners. We were once in their shoes. Finally, okay, it's about life. There are lists here in the scriptures because the scriptures don't want us to self-deceive. They want us to know what death looks like. Okay? Things like impurity, passion, greed, immorality. I'm just saying, hey, this is what it looks like. Okay? Don't do any self-deception. But saying, here's a list of things that I'm not going to do is going to get you to do those things quicker than probably anything else that you could do. See, our focus needs to be on our life in Christ Jesus. Our focus needs to be on developing that relationship that we have with Jesus Christ. Our focus needs to be on Jesus who is in glory. And if our focus is on that and we believe what God says to believe about the realm that we can't see, if we believe what God tells us reality is, we can't be stopped. Because we know that He's the one who dictates reality. He's the expert, and I'm going to defer to the expert. How about you?